Time to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the San Francisco Chronicle, brought to us by Truitt and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce, good morning. How are you today?
Good, Marty. How are you doing?
Pretty good. It was one of those nights. Did you get to watch the game last night?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, really, a couple of things. Number one, you've been probably just about in every ballpark in America and probably built and rebuilt, but anything like this place to have a game?
No, there really isn't. I mean, you think, yeah, right, so it's elevation, whatever, but it's just so many crazy things happen there just routinely. So many wins turn into horrible losses routinely that, like, when the Giants added on to their lead in the ninth inning, I was thinking, man, this is crucial that they're doing this. You know, make it a 10-run lead going into the bottom of the ninth. And it's great that they did that, but... And, you know, the Giants know as well as anybody how you can just take a crushing loss up there and how, you know, obviously routine fly balls sail out of the park and your pitchers are just struggling. I mean, the fact that Vogelsong got through that outing without giving up a run was fabulous. And what's that streak now? 25 and two-thirds, the Giants starters, they still haven't been scored upon in 25 and two-thirds innings and counting.
Yeah, Andy Baggerly put that out last night, and it's over four games. And
yeah,
this is the fifth guy through the rotation today, and we'll see what he does. I think he's in a little bit of a precarious thing here. If Peavy is two rehab starts away from coming back, he's got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
They're just going to sit Peavy. I can't believe they'd sit him. So for Heston, it's good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. It's about through eight starts now. I think there's a little bit of pressure on him today.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're paying Peavy a lot of money, and they went after him after they backed off on Shield. So, I mean, they're certainly not going to give up on Peavy anytime soon. If he's looking like he can get a start, he's going to get one. But, you know, for Heston, I mean, he's shown that he can pitch in the big leagues. I don't think it would be an absolute crushing development for him if he had to go back to AAA. I mean, he's shown he can pitch in the bigs, but at the same time, you know, they rocked him pretty good up his last start in Colorado. I think it was like six runs in five innings or something like that.
And,
so, you know, it's a big start. You know, then again, if he keeps this starter's run going and, you know, goes six scoreless or whatever, seven innings without giving up a run, you know, you can't take him out of the rotation. That's a sudden luxury the Giants have.
No, and I think it applies to Ishikawa, the same principle. I mean, you're going to start busting up the team to bring him back. I don't think he's coming back. I think more than likely they'll try to sneak him through and try to get him back to Sacramento.
Yeah, that seems pretty apparent. I mean, their bench actually has, some strength right now. It actually looks pretty good. I mean, if Duffy's there along with, you know, Maxwell and Blanco, you've got a lot of good options there. And, of course, the backup catcher and the backup infielder. So, it's a shame that there doesn't seem to be a real place for Ishikawa right now. And I think you said early in the show, I mean, just this year, last year at this time, he was thinking about giving up the game. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
we'll see. You just have no idea. I think, you know, at this point, he definitely wants to keep going somewhere. I mean, the guy hit a home run that put the Giants in the World Series. So he's not quite ready to give it up, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I think they'd like to have him around. He's good insurance.
Yeah.
You know, you
good
don't
guy,
know.
Yeah.
Look, you know, I'll tell you something. When Belt got hit the other day on the hand,
oh, God.
I said, here we go again. I mean, you know, players are one hit batsman away from trouble. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and you know those inside pitches that hit guys in the hands, it's just so hard to watch. And you know, guys are standing closer to the plate than ever. They're diving into pitches. They're not getting out of the way as quickly as they used to. And this happens so often. And it's just it's a real soul crusher if it happens to hit that bone and puts a guy out for 6 weeks. Belt really dodged the bullet there. And next thing you know, he's hitting a 475-foot homer or whatever they measured it.
Amazing. I mean,
yeah.
I was thinking about that last night, and I'm trying to think the longest home runs I've ever seen. And 475 is right up there. I think I've seen Mark McGwire in Seattle, you know, hit it up. Remember, it went up in like the fourth deck of Canseco in Toronto. Of course,
that one really stands out, yeah.
Yeah, but Tony Perez, I can remember hitting some, and I can remember McCovey hitting one. I talked to McCovey about it. Off a lefty for Houston, Crawford, Jim Crawford. And I tell Willie, before the ball came down in the upper deck at Candlestick, Leo DeRocher was already past first base heading to the clubhouse, and that's how high he hit it. So How about for you? Home runs that you remember?
Yeah, I remember in the 63 World Series, the final game, Koufax was pitching for the Dodgers, and they swept the great Yankees. It was at Dodger Stadium, and I was there, and it was 2-1, and the one Yankee run was a home run that Mickey Mantle hit up into the second deck down the left field line, which was very rarely done. Now, there's not much of it. It doesn't, like, jut out to the left center, but to see a ball go in there, it wasn't 500 feet, but it was pretty amazing, especially considering that it was Mantle and Koufax. You know, Stargell hitting a ball out of Dodger Stadium. I saw some kind of clip of that one time. I wasn't at the game. And I remember being at the old L.A. Coliseum. I remember saw Duke Snider hit a ball that I thought it went at least 475, and it was caught. Well, the fence was so far away. It was 250 down the left field line. And another one I really remember well is Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
As a rookie. He'd just come up against the Giants in Pittsburgh, and Roger Mason was pitching. And I'll never forget the sound. I think I was looking at my keyboard. I heard this, and I looked up, and Bonds had hit one that just rocketed it off the facade of the upper deck. It was just like it was on its way to distant planets. I mean, it was just, oh, my God. It was just an incredible rocket. You know, before all the commotion over his home runs, he came up with that early on. So there's a lot of them. Frank Howard, I remember, hit a big bomb at the Coliseum that seemed, everybody thought was going to leave the stadium altogether.
Yeah, it's still probably the most memorable offensive moment you can have is the home run. How about Bonds off of Gagne
and
off of Percival?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Bonds and Gagne at bat, I mean, it was pretty supernatural considering that both of those guys were well into the juice at that time, but that did not take away from it. It was cartoonish. I mean, the guy throwing 100 miles an hour and Bonds yanks one a million miles foul and then he hits one out. I mean, that's definitely one of the most memorable at-bats I can ever remember.
Boy, good. All right, Bumgarner, the home run. Here's a hitting pitcher again. You and I have talked about hitting pitchers, but it was one of those moments. You know, I think the Dodgers needed that game. Kershaw was their guy. They'd lost two straight. They haven't scored a run. They've scored like I think four runs in about four games right now.
Yeah,
and there goes Bumgarner going deep on him. I thought it just showed how hot this ball club is.
Yeah, the Dodgers did need that game. I mean, you know, a week later you don't think about it so much, but right then they needed to do something against a team that they clearly could not beat in San Francisco. I mean, the Giants looked like a better team when those two teams play each other. Mm-hmm. And Kershaw needed that game. He tried to sneak a fastball by Bumgarner, and he was a little testy after the game about, you know, he was trying to give Bumgarner credit. He goes, hey, listen, you know, that was a mistake pitch. You can't do that to a guy who hits that well. And, of course, I'm all in favor of pitchers hitting. I don't, you know, I love watching Vogelsong hit. He's just a competitor up there. You brush him back, and next thing you know, he hits a bullet somewhere, you know. But a guy like Bumgarner, he's a special treat. He's like watching Don Drysdale or Kim or Brett up there because he might yank one way out.
What a swing! I mean, he doesn't hold back.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I remember one game. I think it was last year. The guy he was facing was really wild, and he went to 3-0 on Bumgarner. And you figure, well, here's a take, and he just took the most vicious cut. It was a fastball down the middle. And he swung and missed. So I'm thinking, absolutely, you know, he's not going to take a walk if he gets a pitch to hit, and Bochy would give him that leeway, which I love.
Boy, Bruce, the Giants are hot. They're very hot. They're leading the league in hitting.
Yeah.
I think they're second in on base percentage, and 20-8. I mean, this looks like October to me. I mean, you know what it looks like?
Definitely,
it looks like they're playing like the best team in the league. And everybody else has to figure out how do we get to the point to beat the Giants. It's not being said openly yet, but this is kind of where they're at over these last 28 games. Now, will it last? Who knows? But that's kind of where they're at right now.
Yeah, well, anytime you got Belt and Crawford both over 300 and really looking the part, you know, that's when you know they're rolling. You know you're going to get Pence and Posey, and, you know, Pagan has been great. Aoki's looking good, and they're just, you know, they're top to bottom. But like you say, it's nothing you can actually pinpoint. It's not like, you know, losing to the 61 Yankees when Mantle and Maris each hit a couple of homers or you know, a team with a with a really dominant pitching staff, but that's what the Giants are. Suddenly they have that.
Yeah.
It was the start of the year. The pitching looked vulnerable, and then it sure enough was quite vulnerable. Now all of a sudden, everybody in rotation is clicking, and they're playing that Giants brand of ball.
You know,
it's people are really taking notice because they've seen it before.
Yeah, yeah, they've seen it before, and very quietly they just play excellent baseball. Tony Hayes, who we know from the press box, texted me last night. He says, Bill Miller, Matt Duffy, same player. Do you see anything in there?
I can see it. Different body types. I mean, they neither is a real big guy. Duffy's a little lankier, but Duffy looks like a real smart hitter. You know, he's up there to drill the ball. He might go deep on occasion. He turned on a ball real nice last night, but, He just looks like a ball player. He looks like a scrapper. You know, he can run, he can hit, he's smart, and he's going to take that third base job. I mean, we've talked about this before. I think, you know, Bochy's patience with McGee is justified and correct, because that's just how you do it. But Duffy's very quietly staking his claim, and I think if this continues, he's going to be the guy at third. And then we'll really find out if he's Bill Miller.
Really?
I mean, Bill Miller did some things in the postseason that saved the Red Sox. You know.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, completely. So.
Yeah, yeah. I like the comparison, but I agree. It's a work in progress. It's only the quarter pole. We'll see where it goes. All right. What's on your agenda today? You're probably like me. Well, you got a full day of baseball.
Yeah,
you got Warriors tonight, right?
Yeah, I'm still laid up after foot surgery, so every day is kind of the same. Well, what's on TV? And, of course, it's great almost every day, but I'm going to be watching the Giants the first game, then I'm going to be watching the Warriors and probably writing something from home off the Warriors, and then I'll catch up late with the Giants game, too, and a little cocktail.
Good. You know, you mentioned something.
To be very specific.
Look, I'm with you. You know, we'll come down and do the show from your house.
Absolutely. There's plenty of room out here.
You mentioned something in the column today about Ken Korak, and you're laid up. He's laid up. He's had the knee injury all year long, and I know he may be listening today down in Las Vegas, but we miss him up here.
Oh, gosh, we really do. I've been trying to stay on top of his condition. And, you know, I think originally he thought he might be able to show up by the end of spring training, and then it keeps getting pushed back. I'm kind of worried about him at this point. The email I got, you know, he said, I appreciate, you know, everybody's concern. I just can't tell you anything right now. He's got a couple doctor's appointments coming up. And he just can't get over that hump. He can't get to the other side yet. So, I mean, we'll see. He said sooner than later, hopefully. So let's just hope that's the case.
Yeah.
Because, the A's are putting some games on. They've added some games on their schedule where you're getting a telecast, I guess, from the other team's feed, and they're plugging the radio call in there. So, to hear Korak on a telecast, I mean, nothing against the A's guys, but it would be kind of cool. I mean, this is one of the great broadcasters, I think, in the country. And for people who only watch the A's on TV and don't get a chance, you know, they don't really hear a lot on the radio, it'd be kind of a treat to get him on the tube.
I'm glad you mentioned. I know that knee is just not responding yet.
No.
All right. Hey, Bruce, thanks so much. We'll talk to you in the morning.
You got it. See you then, Mark.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins. Always a pleasure to have him on.